Welcome to the Top 8 Movies podcast, presented by Top 8 Media. Every week we share top 8 lists from movie lovers across the globe. We also dive into actors and actresses' top 8 movies according to IMDb scores. And hear many reviews from our resident film reviewer, Mike Morgan, as he reflects on his top 8 films of each of the last 34 years. We have special edition top 8 lists on more specific topics from the movie industry. Send us your top 8 list to be read out on future episodes. Just DM us on Instagram at top_8_media. Thanks for tuning in, and let's crack on with the show. Welcome back, everybody, to Top 8 Movies from Top 8 Media. My name is Owen Morgan. I'm sat down with my co-host, Jessica Rose Johnson, and we talk all things movies through the power of Top 8 Lists. Today we have an extremely special episode. It's a bit like the Christmas episode. This doesn't have an episode number, and it doesn't need one, because we're going to do something a little bit different. Don't worry, we're always sticking to our format normally, but this needs to be done differently. So guys, we have six lists today. That's right, six. So not as much detail on each list, but we have six because this is a very, very important mission for me and Jess. We want to find out what the ultimate top eight MCU Marvel list is. And the only way to do that is to have six people do their top eight and we pick out the most voted for. So you'll find out at the end of the show what that is. So Jess, this is an interesting show tonight because we have people from other podcasts coming, not coming on, but other people from podcasts in the movie industry, podcast movie industry, sharing their list. So we're up against it. We're up against some people who know their stuff. So it's going to be very interesting. But what is superhero wise? I know, you know, if anyone's listened to the show and they're new to the show, maybe they may have been hooked in by this topic. Where are you with superhero movies? Because obviously you and me love all kinds of movies. We know we're hardcore, but where do superheroes land, like, generally for you?
I mean, they're not my favorite. So I think I'm probably the one of the most disadvantaged and might have the least liked list. I enjoy watching them, but I think when it comes time to like sit down and watch a movie, I'm not like, ooh, let me rewatch this movie. I'm kind of like, all right, I've seen it. Oh, don't hate me.
Hey, look, we can't have all franchises equally, you know? You're a Star Wars chick, and I'm actually a Star Wars guy now after seeing them all. We'll be talking about that in the next episode. But, you know, we can't have them all, right? You know, and you've got to be dedicated to this. You know, I've watched them all at least three times. I've done Timeline Order twice in the last 5 years. I'm due to do it again soon. It's got to be done. So it's going to be very, very interesting. But, you know, there's about, is it like 30 plus films, something like that? So there's only so many we can pick from. And they're not that different, obviously, but the order that they're in, I've found very interesting researching all our lists. Very, very interesting, the reception this has had. So before we jump in, we're going to be, I'm going to let you know a little bit more about the MCU history. So we're doing from Iron Man 2008 through to Endgame. So we're not doing after Endgame. So there'll be no, you know, the second Captain Marvel film won't be in this or anything. So number one, 2008, Iron Man. Endgame, no Deadpool, as Megan and Max from the Vigilante podcast, who are on here sharing their lists, said it's a Fox thing. So it is Marvel, but it's through Fox, so we're kind of not quite including it in this. Spider-Man's allowed in, I think, mostly just because he's in some of the ensemble MCU films, so I think he should be allowed in. And X-Men's not on here either. Though obviously linked to Marvel. I think that's most of the key ones. Guardians of the Galaxy is in, and I think that's completely fair enough. I think that's the main things for you to know. I would say the golden era is Iron Man to Endgame. That's the golden era. There's a lot of talk about what's happened since Disney have started doing them, but we're not here to talk about that today. We're celebrating the awesomeness of the first side of it. So yeah, what we thought we'd do, Jess, is do all the eights first, then all sevens and all sixes. But before we do that, I need to tell you who's actually voting as such on today's show. Sorry, there's a lot more chatting at the beginning than normally is. So bear with me, audience and Jess. So today we've got me, We've got Jess. Hello. We've got Lee from Lights, Camera, Rant, which is a movie podcast. I've got a description here. So it's ranting, raving, reviewing movies, TV shows, and video game podcast. Full episodes on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. So yeah, he does a lot of video stuff. He has lots of guests on the show, which is really cool. There's some live stuff in there too. He's already given us a list before in the past, and he's also doing a future episode, a Harrison Ford episode. He's given us a list for that as well. That's coming up. So yeah, he's doing some good stuff over there. So go and check him out. He reviews all kinds of things, and he's constantly posting. And the podcast is great. He learns so much. He knows so much. Puts us to shame a little bit. And also, for the first time ever, we have Max. Max. That's a combination of both your names, guys. Megan and Max are here, so to speak, giving us their list. So they're from the Vigilante Vibes, a Marvel podcast, bringing the Marvel fandom together with our non-toxic vibes. Join Max and Megan as they discuss mutants, Marvels, nerd culture, and everything in between. Now, guys, I listen to their show. They know their stuff. They know comic book history, how it's intertwined. They have all the latest news. I don't know what their sources are, but they know their stuff. So they're constantly giving you updated stuff that's coming, reviewing films and talking about different approaches to certain characters. And they're amazing. They know so much. So go and check out their podcast, guys. I'll put all the links in the description. Thank you all for being involved in this show today. It's going to be really, really cool. Last but not least is my friend John, who I've worked with for many years, who is an absolutely insanely amazing artist and sculptor in many ways. He's really into his sort of digital style look and design. So Star Wars memorabilia, he can make things like that. And he's done some amazing stuff for me over the years, stuff that I've asked him to do for me. Amazing guy, works in a comic book shop as well. It's really cool. I think he's more of a DC guy, but he does love a bit of Marvel as well. But again, what absolutely amazing collection of human beings we have here today. I think we're all mostly the same age, actually. So that maybe I should have asked a 70-year-old and an 18-year-old as well. But we're going to go with it. Okay, guys, I promise we will get to these lists. So let's find out a little bit more about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, thanks to ChatGPT. That helped me with this. I did some research afterwards to fact check it, but it's amazing. So here we go. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, the MCU, began in 2008 with the Iron Man kickstarting a cinematic phenomena. Over the years, the MCU has released numerous films, collectively grossing, ready, $22 billion worldwide. Notable successes include Avengers Endgame 2019, which surpassed Avatar 2009 as the highest grossing film of all time, earning over $2.7 billion. So yeah, Endgame has done it. It's made it. It's ended the game of the movie industry. Audience reception has generally been positive, with many films receiving critical acclaim alongside commercial success. Black Panther 2018 notably garnered praise for its cultural significance and storytelling, becoming the first superhero film to receive a Best Picture nomination at the Oscars. That's huge. The MCU's adherence to comic book source material varies. While some films closely follow the comic book storylines, others take creative liberties for cinematic adaptation. Overall, the MCU has successfully captured the essence of the beloved characters and story arcs, while also introducing new narratives to appeal to a wider audience. Despite occasional criticisms of formulaic storytelling or lack of risk-taking, the MCU remains a dominant force in the film industry, shaping popular culture and setting new standards for the cinematic universes. So there you are. You're up to date, guys. That is the MCU. That's all news behind the scenes. ChatGPT is amazing and it created that for us. So thank you very much. Hopefully everything is present and correct. There's a little bit here about the beloved characters, but let's do that a little bit later on. Well, that'd be quite fun. All the key people that people seem to have resonated with over the years, which would be really, really lovely. So let's crack on, guys. Let's crack on. So I think, Jess, the best way to do this, I guess maybe you do the eights, I'll do the sevens, you do the sixes. So we're going to do the eighth position for all six people that have voted here today. So let's kick off and see where we're at. Over to you, Jess.
All right. In the number eight spot for Max is Captain Marvel. Owen, Iron Man 2. John, Ant-Man. Jess, Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings. Megan, Eternals, and Lee, Thor, Ragnarok.
Oh, wow. What interesting combination, isn't it? Captain Marvel, Iron Man 2, Ant-Man, Shang-Chi, Eternals, and Thor. I mean, wow, we're kicking off here with a bang. We're going to go for these lists at the end, I think, rather than go into too much detail. We don't want to give it away, guys, what people have. So there might be something there that you particularly love, so you may already be voting for them. Because remember, you're here to vote here today, guys, to pick out your favorite list. I hope you've got a pen and paper as well, guys, and you're writing yours down. Right, in seventh position for Max, we've got Captain America, The Winter Soldier. First time we've seen that. Owen's got Spider-Man, No Way Home. First time we've seen that. John has got Captain America, Civil War. The first time we've seen that. We're kicking this off now. In seventh position for Jess is Ant-Man, which is one above John. Megan's is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So that's back again. Lee's got Doctor Strange. That's the first time we've seen that. So we are ticking a lot off the list. So far, no Infinity War, no Endgame. I wonder why. So, sixth position, over to you, Jess.
All right, in the sixth position, we got some movement. Max has Doctor Strange, Owen, Captain America, Civil War, John, Avengers Infinity War, Jess, Doctor Strange, Megan, Spider-Man, No Way Home, and Lee, Guardians of the Galaxy, with their first appearance on the list.
Yeah, sure is. Got two for Spider-Man now. Guardians is rocking up the show. Doctor Strange doing quite well so far, to be fair. And now we're starting to see a few more Captain Americas. So we're not getting many Thor at the moment, are we? Which is interesting. So yeah, let's see what happens next. So in fifth for Max, the first time we've seen today is the first Avengers collective. So that was the 2012 Avengers. Owen is showing up with Black Panther. First time we've seen that. This, remember, is the only one that was nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. John has put Endgame in his fifth slot. So the big boy movies. I can't wait to see what else he's got above those. Then we've got the first Captain America, first Avenger for Jess. First time we've seen that. Avengers Age of Ultron is Megan's. First time we've seen that. Iron Man 1 for Lee. So that's the 2008. Right, it's getting very tasty now, isn't it? Right, let's jump straight into fourth. Over to you, Jess.
In the fourth spot, Max has Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness, Owen, Guardians of the Galaxy, John, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Jess, Black Panther, Megan, Avengers Endgame, and Lee, Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Amazing. God, it's all over the place. It's hard to know who's winning at this point. You'll know at the end when we do the big results. But yeah, first time we've seen Multiverse of Madness. It's really cool to see that. We've seen everything already, haven't we, there? Yeah. Spider-Man's doing pretty solid. Speaking of Spider-Man, in third spot for Max is Spider-Man No Way Home. It's all the same Spider-Man. That's one key takeaway here. I wonder why. Maybe it's because there was 150 Spider-Mans in it. That might have swung it. In my third position, we've got Captain America, The Winter Soldier. In John's, we've got Captain America, Winter Soldier. Yes, two in a row. Iron Man, 2008. That's Jess's number three slot. Megan has got Captain America, Civil War. So she hasn't got Winter Soldier, but she has got Civil War. So that's very interesting. And Lee has also got Captain America, Winter Soldier. So it looks like Cap is kind of dominating this whole thing right now. But let's continue with the big one before the big one. Second place. Let's do this.
And number two, who's going to show up more than Captain? I don't know. Max has Avengers Endgame, but Owen has Avengers Infinity War. John has Iron Man. And I have Thor, Love and Thunder. Megan, Avengers the Classic 2012. While Lee has the Avengers Infinity War. So lots of Avengers in that line.
Yeah, I think we all knew Infinity Endgame were going to be near the top. But now it'd be interesting to see first or second who has the most Endgames, who has the most Infinity Wars. So let's see. Max's favorite Marvel film of all time is Avengers Infinity War. Owen's favorite Avengers film of all time is Endgame. John's favorite all time is Guardians of the Galaxy. Jess is also Guardians of the Galaxy for her favorite of all time. Megan is Avengers Infinity War. And Lee is Avengers Endgame. So let's take a look. So we've got two Endgame, two Guardians, and two Infinity Wars. Oh man, it's a triple tie. But our initial reflections for me, I knew Endgame and Infinity War would be at the top of most of these. So I think it's really important to honor the ones that in the top two that aren't. I think that's really good. So Guardians of the Galaxy and John's and Iron Man second is really cool. I love the fact that you've got Thor, Love and Thunder. That's really good. The first Avengers getting a second spot for Megan. That's really cool. And other than that, it's quite obvious. So Jeff, tell me more about, if you can, why Love and Thunder? What was it about that? Because it's not really shown up here today. I think it's great too. So why did that get second spot? That's pretty cool.
So I think of all the movies, my girl Natalie Portman. But what I loved about this movie is I think it was so misunderstood, and there was a lot of just hate on this movie. But the misunderstanding, and surely this is not a spoiler alert for anybody watching the show, but I loved Love and Thunder because when Jane Foster takes on the power of Thor, it's actually meant for love. Like Thor gifted her that to protect her and look after her. So it's like this ultimate love that he gave for her. And you just don't see that a lot in movies, like true deep love where you're willing to sacrifice and give up. So he gave up his hammer for her to look after her and protect her. And it did during that time, and it was so beautiful. Also, the timing of the movie, I'll share a little fun side personal story here. So this wasn't when we watched the movie, it wasn't long after we found out my husband's cancer was back. So we're there with a couple friends. And my friend's husband, once it came out in the movie about Jane Foster, he looked at her and said, "I think we should go. Like I don't I think we should go." And I was like crying, but I was like, "No, let's stay. This is gonna be a good movie." So I think there's also that little bit of sentimental moment too. But I just love the love behind it. And if I had to choose one Thor, I do love the Thor movies, but if I had to choose one, it would be that one for that reason.
Yeah, I love how you've gone into the storyline of it. And I think sometimes we forget that a lot of these do have a decent in-depth story to them. It's not just all action and them all having fun. It's a bit like what we got here with like Winter Soldier, especially. It's come up quite a few times on these lists. But it was the first time, I know it was very early on, but to see one of them with just some real angst, you know. This was his best friend and all that, like the turmoil of a bit like Star Wars, isn't it, when people turn to the dark side, and it makes it interesting, isn't it, when a human that you already know in that universe and then they switch, and how can they come to terms with it? It shows some vulnerability because they can be as strong as they want, have all the powers they want, but in the cheesiest way possible, this little human being with emotions. And I think their film at that point, they started to bring that in a bit more, and I think that's why Winter Soldier is quite popular, it's quite known to be up there. Whereas, for example, Captain America Civil War, which I've got in mind, which I loved, a lot of people are, oh God, they splinter off and they don't really, you know, they'll get back together, and you just don't buy into it as a human emotion thing. It was a clever attempt, but I don't think people really bought into it like they did with Winter Soldier, I have to say. So yeah, can I also ask you, we will talk about some other films on our list, but while we're talking about our list, it makes sense. So how come do you not have any of the collective ones then? What made you decide not to have Infinity War, Endgame, Age of Ultron, all that? What's that about?
I know I have none of the Avenger ones. I don't know. I guess a part of me feels I don't know. I want to say cheesy. That sounds terrible. I'm going to lose all the brownie points in the world right now. But I mean, they all come together great. And then they all come together again, and they all come together again, and it's like, okay. I don't know. Some there were some really great scenes and great moments. I just felt like it was just so much hype that people are just going to see it for like all the action and all the hype. I like the individual stories so much better. Maybe it's the character development and you're getting their backstories. I think that part is really fun too, because you're really getting to know them. And that was something when I was picking out, I was like, okay, if I had to just pick one out of the Iron Man series or just one out of the Captain America, I tend to lean towards the first one. out of all of them, except for Thor. So I think that's probably part of it too, is I just love that initial character development and how they became who they are, rather than let's throw in a bunch of people and a bunch of action and this like really mega story that if you do it in 4DX, you're gonna be covered in water and shooken about. So I think that's probably my reasoning behind it.
It's funny, it's such an amazing argument because I totally agree with you. I totally agree that there's something really special about character development, and it's really exciting. It's really exciting that for them to discover powers and what it means. So I actually 100% agree with you, but unfortunately, I am a guy that loves it when they all get together and they kick some ass. That final scene of Endgame is incredible. It makes me want to cry, explode with glee, and it's just like the best thing ever. They all rock up into the shot. You know, it's all in a line. It's just heaven. But 100% agree with you. I know I don't have many first ones in there, but Captain America: Winter Soldier was very character driven. Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, very character driven as they introduced them all. Black Panther, come on, that's like the out of all of them, the ultimate. We'll talk about that in a second. The ultimate character driven arc. Civil War, to a certain extent, was. That was just me being cheesy. I love seeing my heroes take each other on like that. It's quite cool. Spider-Man: No Way Home was like literally the epitome of he's a human, he's a human, and he's going through some really messed up stuff there. And I think we can all relate. And Iron Man 2, he had to really, once everyone knew who he was, it was really the world wanted all of him, but he also needed to save the world, and it was just really cool. So I'm kind of on the same page, but not quite. But yeah, Black Panther, like, let's have a look. Was it just you and me? Let's have a look. Do-do-do. I think it is just you and me. I'm very surprised that we're the only two. I know it's known to be, it was very different. It was politically driven, you know, pretty much all black cast, and it was a very different approach. But actually, the actual story was different. It was just totally a different vibe to what a hero could be. And yeah, the hardship and the burden of being a hero too. So yeah, I'm wondering why, yeah, the others haven't done that. What are your thoughts on Black Panther 2? Because obviously it stood out a lot for many reasons. Maybe people didn't like it because it was nominated and it was trying to be really different, and maybe that was rejected slightly because of that. What do you think?
Maybe. I know there's some people who, if it, oh, it gets a lot of awards, they don't, but then there's a lot of people who are on the bandwagon, like if it gets a lot of awards, it must be amazing. I loved how different it was. I loved the cultural aspect and just this like idea of what I loved about Black Panther is like you had this whole culture and community that like supported each other and grew with each other and was a part of all of this, where a lot of the times you see in these movies like people are individuals fighting for a cause and they're trying to save the whole world. But with Black Panther, it felt like their whole world was supportive of it. So even in the movie when he lost, right, they're like, this is our way. Like, this is how we do things. And we now have to honor and respect it. And it was just so cool to see how strong those dynamics were for the whole group, not just the one individual. And then you still see Got to see how that one individual grew as well.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. Yeah, that, you know, the scenes with the in the water, and then they had all the cliffside, didn't they? And they have all different parts of the community. And you even have like different tribes, didn't you, within the community too? And eventually they would have to work together at the ultimate way. And I don't know. I thought it was really cool. And I think it's something that a non-Marvel person could watch in isolation and maybe get away just watching that, and then they're done, which I think is testament to it too. As far as the arc and how it all fits in, I'm guessing Max and Meg will know a lot more about that, and they'll be able to set us straight on how much it fitted in to all of that. But to be fair, there's like 30 films we had to pick from. We've all done our best here today. But yeah, and shortly we're going to find out the ultimate list from this. But let's find out, as we've been talking about it, just I had a little look up on the most beloved characters. So let's see if it kind of, what they've said here resonates with what's actually happened for us as we voted. So here we go. Several Marvel Cinematic Universe superhero characters have garnered immense love from fans worldwide. Among the most beloved are Iron Man, portrayed by Robert Downey Jr., Captain America, Chris Evans, and Spider-Man, Tom Holland. Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal of Iron Man particularly stands out, as his charismatic performance and wit have endeared him to audiences, playing a pivotal role in launching the MCU. Yeah, if Iron Man didn't work, then what would happen next? But it nailed it, and it was like, what other characters do you have? So, genius. Do you like Iron Man, Tony Stark? Are you a fan?
I think Robert Downey Jr. was made to be Iron Man. He just so perfectly embodied that character through all the movies. 100% could not imagine anyone else being cast as Iron Man. I think of all the characters, there's a lot of really great people paired with their character, but of all of them, Robert Downey Jr. is just, he is Iron Man. It's amazing.
It's true. It's hard to know if when he's saying that because it's him. But I think there's something about it. Like it was meant. Yeah, it was meant to be. I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? Now let's take a look at Chris Evans. So Chris Evans, as we know, when Captain America has done well just in all these lists. So Chris Evans' embodiment of Captain America is a symbol of virtue and heroism, and has earned him critical acclaim, with his portrayal resonating deeply with fans. So again, I guess someone else could have played Captain America, but there's something about his character that needs a very particular kind of vibe that the actor has to bring to it. He's not meant to be funny, he's meant to be hardcore, but we need him to know that with Carter and stuff, Peggy, is it Peggy Carter? That he wants to, he wants to be in love, and he has love, and that's, and obviously everything that happened with his friend, the Winter Soldier, and everything. So I don't know. I think he does this perfect thing of emotional side of the start of the character, mix it with hardcore, but not being too over the top silly like Thor, who has to be very over the top. What are your thoughts there with Chris Evans in that role?
I think that's a really great explanation and example of it because you're right. It goes back to the first Captain America, right? When he was this just like scrawny little kid, but he had this big heart and big soul, and he just wanted to serve. And how even though he became this, super fit and strong guy to carry the shield of America, he still had that heart and soul, and he portrays it so beautifully. That could they have gotten somebody else? Maybe, but I think that he just, you can just see him as he goes, and maybe it's part of him as a person. I've never met him personally, so I can't really speak on that behalf, but maybe him personally, like that just heart and soul comes out in his character. Like you're saying, like he's this strong but just really good-souled human being. And I think that probably also ties into why Winter Soldier was so hard for him as a character to have to go through that and some of the other decisions that he makes along his journey.
Yeah, I think the soul thing is true. Yeah, he's just a kind soul that just want who's very patriotic, but also really cares about his family that he's in and around. I guess Civil War kind of ruins that a bit, but generally, that is the theme of it. And I think, yeah, he does really well. I've loved him ever since that role. All the stuff he's done since, I've just followed him because I just think he's great. Yeah, I love him. He's not like. People said he can't be very charismatic, like say, like a Ryan Reynolds can. But I've seen him in some very charismatic roles as well. He was in, he was in the what's the one? Daniel Craig, brain fart.
Because I was like, go.
Murder mystery. God damn! I'm gonna leave this in the show guide. I'm not editing it out. This is real life. Brain has gone. Oh, it only came to me then. Daniel Craig with a funny voice. I loved it. The first one he was in.
Knives Out.
Knives Out. Thank
I
you.
love that movie too.
So, look, it can be done. And there was the film that I loved. Is it Gray Man? Yeah, with Ryan Gosling. And Chris Evans plays the bad guy in that. And he's fucking incredible in it. Oh my God, you hate his guts, but you also love him. He's full of charisma. So, I'm feeling a Chris Evans episode coming up, but we'll move on from Chris for now. Right. Tom Holland's youthful and relatable portrayal of Spider-Man has also received widespread praise, capturing the essence of the iconic character. Now, look, guys, there's been a few Spider-Mans, and they all rock up in the film that keeps getting mentioned here today, No Way Home. Well, no matter, I know some people love Tobey Maguire, some people love Alex Garfield, Andrew Garfield, sorry. I love Andrew Garfield as well. But I think Tom, the thing about Tom Holland, why it works, is he's so cheeky and lovable and fun. But when things go bad, as we saw in that particular film that's been mentioned here today, his character and him as an actor can really pull off just the heartbreakingness of being young and what it is to discover who you are, even if you're a superhero or not. And I think, I know, I think he's amazing. Not everybody liked his portrayal of it. I thought he was awesome. But what are your thoughts from the three of them and his approach?
So, I think Spider-Man's like my least favorite.
Oh.
I don't know. My son loves him. I never really connected, and I'll be completely honest. I saw the Tobey Maguire ones. I'm pretty sure all of them. I didn't really the next one. I think based on the little bit that I know, and like admitting that Spider-Man's my least favorite, you're right with the Tom Holland character. He just has this aura about him where he is this just young and he's trying so hard kind of kid where you just feel for him. And I think the other movies didn't really portray Spider-Man that way, or maybe it was that part of the character wasn't really coming out. And you really do get that a lot with Tom Holland. It's just that youthful innocence. And you brought the Spider-Man No Way Home, just heartbreaking, right? It's completely heartbreaking for him. And I just feel that because he just tries so hard, you know. I think it's beautiful. I'm not sure who else could play Spider-Man. I mean, they've had, you know, now you have the three main that have played it, but I think that part of the character really helped drive it in this version of Spider-Man, was that just kind of youthful innocence and him just really, really, really trying so very hard.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, the trying hard bit is in there. And it's also like we all, it would be so cool just to hang out with all the heroes. You need someone on the screen that represents us. That'd be so cool, wouldn't it? Just to hang out in the, I think it's Civil War in the airport scene. And he just thinks it's so cool. Like, hey, man, oh my God, it's Cap. Love your shield and all that. You know, you, that's what we would be like. You need someone on the screen that isn't just awesome and like kick ass. You want someone that's that, but also is blown away by the celebrity of the people around him. And I think we needed that in it. So yeah, some of those scenes are really, really cool. And obviously, you know, Iron Man, Tony Stark makes him some absolutely epic outfits, which look awesome. So, and I think Spider-Man's for the youngsters, and it's Spider-Man's the first thing a lot of the kids are going to watch as part of the MCU to get in. So he's a gateway. That's really important.
And that's a good point, having the
Yeah.
different dynamics of the characters, and that's what probably really drives the Avengers overall. And because he is a high school student, that it is more likely for younger generations to tie on to that character and relate to that character more than some of the other characters.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. Speaking of other characters, other notable mentions include Chris Hemsworth as Thor, Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow, and Chadwick Boseman as Black Panther, all of whom have left indelible marks on their respective roles with the MCU. True. These actors have not only brought these beloved characters to life, but also have contributed significantly to the cultural impact and success of the MCU, earning critical acclaim for their performances and endearing themselves to the fans for years to come. Now, granted, we've lost a lot of these characters as we go into the next phase. That is for another show. We will not going into that. I am not happy so far, but that's for another time. But that's Disney for you. They tend to take things and water them down a little. But that's again another story. Positive show. But yeah, really, really awesome. So what we'll do just to sort of wrap up, I mean, we're not there yet, but we'll go through the list one more time, but we'll just do them in actual order. So this is your turn to press pause, get a pen and paper, hear the words that you the words, hear the films that you hear, and then like jot down like, oh yeah, I really love that. And then you might be able to compile your eight, but maybe these eights will give you a sense. So if you hear a list, you're like, my God, that's so good. That's so like mine. Then write down A, B, C, D, E, or F, and then you can vote. That way. So we'll whiz through them. I'm not going to talk in any details. So Chess, maybe if you do Max, then I'll do me and John, then you can do you and Megan. Yeah, let's do it that way. So yeah, if you want to do Max's for one more time, all the way through.
All right, here's Max from eight up, starting with Captain Marvel, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Doctor Strange, Avengers Classic, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Avengers Endgame, and Avengers Infinity War.
Lovely. And my list is Iron Man 2, Spider-Man No Way Home, Captain America Civil War, Black Panther, Guardians of the Galaxy, Captain America The Winter Soldier, Avengers Infinity War, and my number one is Endgame. So remember, you're looking for the order. That's how you would know whether you want to vote for it or not. And for John, we've got Ant-Man, Captain America Civil War, Avengers Infinity War, Avengers Endgame, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Iron Man, and his number one was Guardians of the Galaxy. Back to you, Jess.
And my number eight spot, Shang-Chi and the Legends of the Ten Rings, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Captain America, Black Panther, Iron Man, Thor, Love and Thunder, and Guardians of the Galaxy. For Megan, she has Eternals, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, Spider-Man No Way Home, Avengers Age of Ultron, Avengers Endgame, Captain America Civil War, Avengers Classic, Avengers Infinity War.
Lovely. And for Lee, we've got Thor, Ragnarok in eighth. Then we've got Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, Iron Man, Spider-Man No Way Home, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Avengers Infinity War, and Avengers Endgame. So that's your list, guys. So you can go away and think about that. And I think the key thing with these, if you're into a real blend, it'd be me, Max, and Lee. If you're into the collectives, you're looking at Megan. If you're looking for origin stories, you're going for Jess. And if you are looking for, yeah, John's definitely a mix as well. But he's actually got some of the classic first ones at the top of his as well. So that gives you a little bit of vibe how you might want to vote. Try and give everyone a bit of love there so everyone gets a chance in the votes. But here's the big moment. When we get back from the break, we are going to do the ultimate debate over top eight Marvel films of all time from the multiple minds of movie nerds. Welcome back, everybody. So now is the moment. Debate over. There'll be loads of debate. People won't agree. But these are the films, if you really care on this list, these are the films that got the most votes by all six competitors. And if it's the matching amount of votes, it goes on the highest average position that film landed in. All right, just be really clear. We will tell you how many votes it got altogether, but the order is the one highest up had the highest average position. I hope that it makes sense if you're listening. I think it makes sense in my head anyway. Does it make sense, Jess? Yeah. Highest average position. Yeah. Let's take turns. So I'll let you do number eight, and then we'll just keep switching. Let's do it. This is it. Debate over. Let's get this done.
Captain America, Civil War.
How many votes?
Three.
Oh. In seventh position is Doctor Strange, which also had three votes.
The number six position goes to Iron Man with three votes.
Okay, the numbers are going up. We've got in fifth position Captain America Winter Soldier, fifth spot with four votes.
In the fourth spot, also with four votes, is Guardians of the Galaxy.
And in third spot, taking the bronze medal with five votes, is Tom Holland rocking out with Spider-Man No Way Home.
In the number two spot with five votes, Avengers Infinity War.
And in first place, you may not have figured it out yet. It involves a lot of them. And it is the end of this phase. It is Endgame with five votes with the highest average position. And this is the top eight Marvel films of all time, as voted by an average population of six people who are kind of into their Marvel on levels, different levels. So, Jess, your reflections on that based on your list, how do you feel about that? Do you think, if you think about the average population of fans, do you think this makes sense? Is it nice?
I think if you look at like the average, I think it's very true. Endgame Infinity War, definitely in the top, and Spider-Man No Way Home, I think has gotten so much love. So those three being in the top three positions, I think that is definitely what you're gonna see majority of. So I'm a little sad. I was kind of solo on a lot of my movies, but still some other great ones. Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War. I know those get raved about a lot too, and I don't think I've ever met anyone who doesn't like Guardians of the Galaxy. I just think they like other ones better. So I think overall it's a pretty good list, and I'd be curious to see how many people think out of this top eight, like their favorite didn't make it into the top eight. So that'll be interesting to hopefully get some feedback on that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, what's missing? So that's it, really. I mean, we're going to be doing we do the best of film, best years of film. Of course, we do that a lot. So this isn't the last time you're going to hear about some of these. They're going to all the way back to 2008, because I think we're on 20. I think we're doing 2013 next. So yeah, you're going to hear these again. But it was really good in the run up to the anniversary episodes, just to wrap this all up. The biggest superhero franchise, other than DC, of course, and we've been able to get it all done and dusted, wrapped up, and sent off. So yeah, I mean, what other ultimate franchises? There's not many things with more than eight, is there? I guess we could do a Star Wars one, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could.
Because that would be interesting, isn't it? The battle of the 70s and 80s versus the 90s versus the noughties. And it'll be
Yeah.
really interesting to see how that unfolds. So yeah, we'll definitely do that then, maybe for maybe like episode 60, 70 onwards, something like that. Just mix it up a bit. So yeah, I think of what else, Jess? Is there anything else with eight? Don't think so.
DC. If we did a
Oh,
DC one.
DC. Oh. Hilarious. Hello. That shows how much I'm not into my DC. I do like quite a few of them, but it's, yeah, not as much. And it's what Harry Potter. How many Harry Potters were there?
Think
Is it
eight.
eight? I guess we could chuck in the could we chuck in the Fantastic Beasts? Can we chuck that in for a laugh as well?
That's true. That's true. Same with Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit series.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But yeah, if you've got any good ideas that we haven't thought about there, guys, it could be like, I guess Tarantino technically has he done eight? But you'd have to have seen, yeah, a lot of longer films to pull that off. You'd have to be proper into your movies, I think, to pull that one off. But yeah, that'd be really cool. But anyway, guys, go and vote. This is your chance. Head over to Instagram. So A, B, C, D, E, or F. Oh, it's so weird saying E or F. That's so weird. We're not used to it. You're not often going to see six of us. This was a rare occasion. So I hope you enjoyed it. So yeah, go over there and vote for your ultimate list on the poster that you'll see over on Instagram. Next week, we're doing our anniversary episode. So if you're new to the show, that's a chance for us to catch up on who's got the most wins on each episode, the most votes. Talk about our top eight films we've recently seen, talk about films we might have watched in recent times. And there's a little cool little quiz as well that we tend to do just for fun. So yeah, go and check that out. We've got many cool episodes coming up, and I'm only saying all of this because this could be your first time here today. So we've just done comedies. We got Idris Elba coming up, and we've got 2013, which was horrifically hard for both me and Jess. So many good films. It was horrible. Even my dad struggled with it. Brutal. Harrison Ford, fascinating list I've seen there. Then we've got Oscar winners. So, the best film category from the history of the Oscars. So that's going to be very interesting. 2012, Brad Pitt. And then we're doing another director's battle of Fincher, Mendez, and Cameron. So we're taking three directors and having an epic battle. So that's all to come in the next 10 episodes. So tune in, subscribe, leave a five-star review. And thank you to Max, Megan, Lee, and John for all getting involved today. We are very grateful for your time, and good luck to you all with your amazing podcasts. Go and check out, guys. Links in the description. Okay, Jess, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody at home. Hope you enjoyed, and we will see you next week for the Epic Anniversary Special. Send us your top 8 list today to top_8_media. If you find it too hard to create your top 8 of all time, then why not a top 8 from a certain actor, actress, genre, or director? You can even make it more niche. For example, the top 8 films set in space. Your list could inspire, so join the top 8 media contributors today. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.